But people like me, I have trouble sometimes learning to love like Jesus. Amen. But it's this that we're called to. So we're going to go ahead and hear a word from the Lord here this morning. I'd like to ask you to read just a few verses with me from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah, chapter number 25, verses 8 and 9. And we're going to look in the New Testament in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 to 16. If you have a handout, these are before you right now. If not, locate those in your Bible. And we're going to read here from the book of Isaiah. We always call it around here the Gospel of Isaiah. Amen. Amen. So let us read. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Amen. That's the old covenant of the Lord to the people of the Lord. Amen. Let us read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 and following. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you.
We know that we have
passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord in the sanctuary, and may God add a blessing to the hearing and the reading of his holy word.
Amen.
Amen. We want to just take these final few minutes here today to talk about love that overpowers death. Amen. Love that overpowers death. And so I wanted to talk about this because, as you know, our central theme, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. This encompasses everything and every area in our lives.
Right.
It's not an easy thing because we have a lot of distortion about what we think love is.
Yeah.
And see, so that creates a problem. We talked about that a little on last year. And those messages are still online if you would like to go back and review them. But it's very difficult living in the culture that we live in to understand what God is talking about. And more today it seems that even the visible church is beginning to back away from some of the more serious teaching that Jesus taught.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful to examine these things, like Paul said, examine everything carefully.
Yes.
Yeah. He said, cleave to that which is good and abhor that which is evil.
Yeah.
So you and I have to develop that sense of discernment. How do we discern what's true and what's false?
Yes.
And it's very critical and very important to our spiritual growth, because the whole world is on a pattern of destruction, basically, is what it amounts to. It comes in the form of appearing to be success. That's what makes it so astonishing. Man begins to grow in a way that's psychological, it's electronic, it looks like it's upscale, but in reality it's actually against God.
Yes, it is.
The man would like to just isolate God and remove him from his thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see this more and more in the culture. The sad thing is we start to see it creep into the church.
Yeah.
And so we have to be careful, you and I, who really love the Lord and understand that Jesus is the only Savior in the world, that we don't slip into any of these things that are going on. We'll see it. And of course, Paul said that in the last days that many will fall away.
Yes.
Right.
See? And he's talking about folks who say that they are believers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't be surprised, because when you look at the time when Jesus came, you will find that Israel had fallen away.
That's right.
They should have been looking for him to come. Some of them were. Remember Anna the prophetess? She was well in her age, well stricken in years, the Bible says, and she was waiting for Messiah. So was Simeon, who
That's
was
right.
there. He was praying to God.
He knew
his days were getting short. Yeah. But he knew that the Lord, if he just let me see your Messiah, I'll be good. I can go on. Because he understood the time.
Yeah.
Like it says of the sons of Issachar, they understood the time and knew what Israel should do.
Mm-hmm.
See, so there are always some people who are spiritually aware of what's going on. Mm-hmm. At the same time, are there people who are going on with the big beat of Satan, if you will, moving on in the way the world.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why it's important in the Spirit of God put it in my heart to talk with us about learning to love like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus came into that atmosphere and already knowing that people would find him guilty.
Yep.
Now how can you be guilty in your job? You made everything. You own it all. It's all yours. You come in, you told them, you gave them advance notice. 1600 years before you were born, Moses began to write. And it went on through all the way to Malachi telling you about Messiah, how he would be, how he would come, what he would do, how you'll know this is him. His signature was written in the Word.
Yes.
See, that these things will be the things that characterize who Jesus is.
Amen.
And so when he came, he did those things. He began to systematically fulfill everything that the prophets had spoken concerning his arrival. Came in, he gave sight to the blind. No one had ever done that. You know what? Nobody's done it since.
Right. All right.
He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind, healed the sick, he raised the dead. See? And y'all know we mentioned this before, and like y'all might have thought I was being a little sarcastic, but I said, now they're talking about we may want to freeze you and let you, but we can't bring you back from the dead, so we'll just freeze you, and maybe in the future we can do something about the problem. You know, and I said, I don't want to be a banquet dinner. Come back as a pot pie or anything like that. And so I'm looking forward to not the undertaker, but the
uppertaker.
He said, I'm going to raise you up out of the grave. If you happen to be, but if you happen to be alive, when I come, you're going to be called up to meet me in the air. Because he said, I am coming back for my church. He said, I'm coming back for my church. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Who else could have told you? Nobody but him. See? And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. This is before he went to the cross. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See? And he said, and you know the way. Why? Because he had taught them, but they weren't getting it either. The apostles weren't getting it. Mm-hmm. Lord, we don't know where you're going. Mm-hmm. And how shall we know the way?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. And so he was teaching them, but there was a whole crew of people, let's say the majority. This is the part that we need to talk about today. The majority of the people were on the wrong track. Didn't understand who he was.
Mm-hmm.
When they started to yell, crucify him, they got on the bandwagon, crucify him. First they threw their coats down in the road and say, he is the Messiah.
Yeah.
And they welcomed him in, you see. Blessed is he. Hosanna, they were crying. See? And then the next week, by 1 week, they turned with the crowd, the evil crowd. And then, as the Bible said, they smote the shepherd and the flock was scattered. His own flock just had to take off because we don't understand who you are now, Jesus. We don't know what you're doing. We saw you with all that power, but now you're just letting them take you and drag you around the beach and bog you and spit on you and all that. We don't get it, so we better run high. See? And they were even offended, and Jesus told them, you will be offended because of me.
Yeah.
He told Peter, you think you all good? Peter said, Lord, I don't care what they do, I'm not going to fall into that. See? But he said, Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny me thrice. You see, and that happened. So we have to understand deception. Spiritual deception is something you and I have to be looking out for.
Yes.
And the purpose that Jesus came was to give us security, even in evil times like we live in. So as we ponder what God did for the world by giving his only begotten Son, Jesus, to pay his life as a ransom for all who believe in him, there are an infinite number of things that should be on our minds. A lot of stuff comes to your mind when you think about it. And as we seek to understand just what caliber of love God has freely displayed openly to all people, how should we become being learners of God? That's who you and I have been called to be, learners. See, Jesus said, go and teach all the nations, make disciples. Disciples are learners. We talked about that last week. And so how should we be? What kind of mindset should we be in? Because we can see the character of the world is changing. People are falling away. You might go to churches and never hear about the cross. Talking about everything but Jesus.
That's right.
All kinds of stuff will take your mind off of Christ and what he has done. And Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, he said. And my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I'm not trying to impress you with my oratory.
That's right.
Or any of that, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
My Lord.
See, so you and I have to understand that Christ is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. And it's something that cannot be minimized. It must be maximized.
Yeah.
Like John said, I got to decrease so you can increase. You see, when Jesus came. And so this is what we have to do to get ourselves on the right mindset. So the obvious magnitude of the power of the love of God is most clearly seen through the acts of Jesus as he single-handedly came into the flesh in order to not only satisfy God his Father on the behalf of all who trust and believe in him, but also to openly display the greatest type of love that there is, which is love that overpowers death.
Yeah.
See, so that's one of the most foreboding things you and I have to deal with. There's nothing else that breaks our hearts more than death.
That's right.
And some people don't even want to talk about it. Well, that's a negative subject. We can't talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It's obvious.
Yes, sir.
The hearse wheels don't ever stop. I heard Reverend Barney say that back at Mount Maryland. And, you know, they don't. They don't. They really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can you overlook it? Some people say, put your head in the sand. Let's just not talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a negative subject. But you know what? Jesus overpowered the grave.
Yes, he did.
So I'm here to boast about that this morning.
All right.
See, I don't have any other boast but to boast in him. The fact that he came for that very reason to set aside death.
Yeah.
Let me add to this that you should trust him. Why? Because the whole world is configured around Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
It's 2019 because it's 2,000 years since his birth. Y'all know I say that all the time. Y'all who study with me all the time. But what about this love that overpowers death and the grave? How can we get into that mindset? If you do, what you're going to find out is that you will receive power, the Bible says, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. See, he wants us to testify of the gospel. This table represents his death. He said, it'll show forth my death until I come. See, he doesn't want you to suppress that information, hold it back, or act like you can talk about something else a little less offensive. That's what the world seems to be offended, but they don't have the answers to the problem. One person has the answer. And has been displayed, and God has made him the most famous individual in the history of mankind.
Amen.
He's more famous than Aristotle or Plato or any of these folks who came in. They had wisdom, but they didn't have no sense to stay out of the grave or defeat the grave. So nobody has that kind of wisdom but Christ Jesus through our God. Now Isaiah prophesied about this. That's why I put this text in front of you here. He will swallow up death in victory.
Yes.
See that? And the Lord God will wipe away tears, all tears.
Oh,
you see that?
Yeah.
From off all faces. Yeah. God said, I don't want nobody crying.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be where maybe the Staples got that from.
Uh-uh.
I know a place where ain't nobody crying.
Yeah.
You see.
You think she knew?
Maybe she knew.
Yeah.
You see. And Bert Barney always used to say, I see God coming. When I see him, I'm going to know that's him because he's coming with a towel to wipe away all my tears.
Yeah.
Nothing else to be hurt or dismayed about.
Come on now.
He's going to come wiping away my tears.
Bravo.
Right.
See, because you're going to have victory.
Yes.
And he already displayed that I have the power to deliver what I have promised.
Yes.
And he said it. He's been saying it all the time. And so these Jews didn't understand it. And so what did they do? They went on and did exactly what God had written. But I'm going to wipe all tears off all faces.
Oh.
See that?
Oh.
And the rebuke of his people, he says here, shall he take away from off all the earth. So that means God expects people who believe in him to be offensive to other people.
Yes.
What happens if I don't tell you when you tell the gospel? People may be offended. They might look at you like, that's offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we think we have other solutions to what's going on.
Yep.
Yeah, they deny the cross every day. We get so used to it, I wonder if we slip into thinking that way anytime.
Watch out. Watch out.
And I like to warn the saints, be careful that you don't slip into worldly thinking.
Amen.
About something that's very obvious that God has already given you the solution to.
Right.
See? And you shouldn't get troubled or be fearful about what's going on, no matter what it is, because God says and has already proven, and it's a proven fact, if it weren't so, then you know what the world would be telling you if they found a something. They try to lie and say, oh, we found a box. It might be Jesus. Yeah, you think you did. Well, why did God configure the world and time around Jesus? And all you had to do if you wanted to disprove what he said is roll that body right down Main Street in Jerusalem, and you didn't do it because you went there and the grave was empty. You set guards over it, but it was still empty. And you couldn't do it. You would have loved to do that if you could. But the fact is, he is risen. And the angels even testify, why do you seek the living among the dead? Because he is risen. See, I'm happy about that kind of love. That's the love that overpowers death. Now let me say this. Death is in people's life already. That might sound crazy. But if you are not walking with God, you are dead in your trespasses and sin.
That's right.
And death is working in you to take you on a path of destruction. But God is trying to stop that process. In fact, he's done what's necessary. And if you're not in the situation where you're saved, it's not his fault.
That's right.
But he's given his son already.
Yeah.
See, he is the most famous person on earth, no matter what anybody says.
Right.
They can say what they want, but Jesus is the most famous person on earth.
Yeah.
See, because he got out the grave.
Yeah.
He has the solution to the biggest problem that man has, just like Isaiah had prophesied. And notice what it says here in verse 9 as we move along. And it shall be said in that day, there's a day coming, church. Lo, this is our God. And we have waited for him. Why? Because he says, I'm coming back. And he will save us. See that? Save us from what? The grave and death? This is the Lord that we have waited for. And we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. See that? And so the practice of the church that we mentioned, which is the most evangelistic of all, is what John says here in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. What is the badge of our discipleship? If ye have love one to another. See, the way we treat each other in the body of Christ speaks volumes to the world.
Oh, yeah.
And I think this is why Satan does so much to try to disrupt and stir up hogwash in the body of Christ.
Uh-huh.
See, and this is why you and I have to do so much to militate against that.
Yeah.
You know what? You don't have to fight hard because the Holy Spirit already has given you the victory.
That's right.
There's not going to be a personal fight, but you got to be aware of the situation. It's mental awareness that these are my brothers and sisters that Jesus died for, that he rose from the grave for, that he is with us, and even though we might look weak, we are strong. See, that's what Paul had to come to understand. That he said, I got a situation here, God, I want you to take it away from me. And God must have said, wait, because Paul asked again. He said a second time, Lord, I got a situation in my flesh that I have trouble dealing with, Lord. Take it away. And he must have said, wait. Finally, he asked the third time in 2 Corinthians, Lord, please take this away. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you.
Mama!
For my my power is perfected in your weakness. See, so we're going to look weak, but God is giving you power. And he loves you. And he knows sometimes I don't want you to get too lofty or too arrogant. I want you to stay humble so I can use you. We talked about that last week in Micah chapter 6. Remember that? God wants you to do right. Keep him in first place in your life and walk humbly before your God. See? And that's what we have to do, because God is guiding us step by step because he loves us. And the difference in how you treat each other within the body of Christ is going to make a difference how many people understand who Jesus is in these latter days. Because we're coming into a time where people think they can do everything themselves. We don't need God. We don't need Christ. We have electronics. We have computers. We got all kinds of stuff that's other than God. See? And so they're trying to eliminate him from their thoughts. It started to happen in America. Our country used to be a lot better. Some of y'all, we talking about, I remember when. You know, thinking back when I was a kid, it was a lot better. Even though stuff may have been tougher on certain people because of ethnic conflicts and all of that. But people had a more godly mindset, because in one while, the Bible was the main subject taught in the school system. They said, hey, you know, there's the state is starting to command us to teach this and this and this. We want have time to teach the word. That's what teachers used to say. And now eventually it got to be, well, we don't want the word at all. Let's get that out of here. So now we live with a generation of people who have never even heard what God has said. And you want to know, why are they killing each other? Why is blood running in the streets? Why are they hating one another? See, why is it that you can hardly sleep at night because of stuff going on in the culture? Because you're living among people who disregard God. Think we don't need them. A lot of who they call the millennials today are some of the toughest ones to reach, because they have no knowledge of the scripture. None whatsoever.
None at all.
And so they don't know how to love and how to really treat people right. And so we have to be careful and be proactive. Now, it doesn't mean, that's why it says things like we're being led as sheep before the slaughter, because it looks like the people of God might be losing. But they aren't. We're moving on ahead in God's plan. So this is what John says, and moving on in 1 John 3. Well, this is the message that he heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. See that? And then he gives us a good example here. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, who is that? The devil. And slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill his brother? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. There's always been a conflict between evil and righteousness.
Always.
There always will be, all the way to the trumpet sound.
Oh, yeah.
See? And so you and I are in the midst of that atmosphere. And this is why John says it's important that we love one another. He said, don't let that blow your mind. That's my translation, verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Don't hear that getting preached much, do you? He said, don't let it blow your mind if the world hates you. People don't want to say that. Sounds negative, but it isn't. God is preparing you for the conflict that's at hand. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth his brethren abideth, he that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. So it's the difference of love that makes the difference in who the people of God are and who the people of the world are.
That's right. Amen.
Ones who hate on their brother are abiding in death. He said, but whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer.
Yes.
And as ye know, that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. See that? That's the problem. We got unrestricted, unbridled flesh out in the world. That's what people do because they don't know any better and they have no fear of God.
None whatsoever.
Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So realize that it's something that you and I have to do in order to maintain. Now, God teaches us how to love one another.
Yes.
That's the biggest lesson in the Bible, and it's one of the most difficult to learn. True believers in God have the most hope in this life because they know that God has made good on his promised victory over our most critical enemy, which is death. That he will also help us with all of any other kind of smaller issues we're dealing with in this life that we have to face. And therefore, we are set free to walk in the victory, increasing our capacity to love our way through this life. Because God already gives you the victory. The word goes. As soon as you get saved, he says, I declare victory for you. You don't have to worry about the grave and death. Why? Because I got you covered. I proved it when I got out of the grave. So I want you to live in that victory and walk in that victory. You don't have to be concerned about it, overly concerned like people who have no hope.
That's right.
So the world is becoming increasingly wicked because of the inevitable decay of true love caused by the fall of Adam. Adam, see, we have that fallen nature in us, so it gives us the proclivity to live that way. And not to think about God. And you know, same thing, the first thing happened, that's first sign. I'm trying to be as brief as I can, but I want you to understand the message. Here, the first thing that happened when Adam sinned was, what did he do? He was glad to see and be in the presence of God.
Yep.
As soon as he sinned, oh my goodness, I got to go run and hide. See? Hiding away. You thought you could hide. And I got to cover myself now.
Yep.
See, and that attitude is in us. You ought to be grieved about it. I am. It grieves me to think, because I know there's negative stuff that I think. Stuff I don't even want to do now. And that's what Paul said in his conflict in Romans 7.
Mm-hmm.
You have that internal nature that's fallen and wants to do fallen stuff.
That's right.
See? And yet God has given you a spiritual awakening in your mind.
Thank you, Jesus.
You've been renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Oh.
See? And now you see how wicked you really are on the inside. That's what that does. It wakes you up and makes you sensitive to the fact that I have a fallen nature. And I can't let that thing run this. I got to let God's word run this. I got to let God's spirit run this. I got to let God in my life and keep him in my life, keep him at the forefront of my life. Otherwise, I'll go in the way of the rest of the world like unbelievers do. And this is causing unbelievers to have a higher disregard for holiness, righteousness, and truth, just like the Cain and Abel situation. Just as it was predicted through the Old Testament prophets, and it was explained by Jesus in the New Testament to the New Testament writers who were commanded to teach the good news of Jesus' victory over death. Read the sermons in the book of Acts. Find one in there that's talking about health, wealth, and prosperity. Find one. There ain't none in there. You know what they were talking about? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His victory over the grave. That's how the church got founded. On the gospel. And it's okay to talk about all that stuff. You know what God says? I'll throw that in as a side piece in your life. That you can have blessings. That you can ask what you want. It's still my world, and I give you authority. And you can have stuff. God doesn't want you not to have stuff. But he don't want stuff to have you. So we got to keep the main thing the main thing. See? And that's what's happening in the world now. But we know we have the victory.
Oh, yes, we do.
So when we consider that Jesus summarized what a proper relationship with God and man is, simplifying the entire book of the law, think about this, to two simple commandments. Love God above all. God's got to be number one in your life.
Got to be number one.
First and foremost. And love your neighbor as yourself. He says upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. It became perfectly clear what the focal point is for all his disciples. Therefore, let us pray earnestly about how we can improve on these two. How can we improve on these two day by day? How can I love God more? How can I love my neighbor more? You know how I can do it? When I look at you and I see something that you make me mad, instead of me going off or gossiping about you, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to get side by side with you and try to make it right. See, instead of talk about you and do stuff like the world does. They'll tweet on the tweet Twitter and say, okay, you know, all the kind of stuff people do. Electronic stuff taking over people's minds.
Yes, it is.
Post on Facebook making kids commit suicide. Stuff like that.
Crazy.
See what I mean? It's crazy. It really is. So I'm going to be more prayerful. I'm going to take everything to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. It don't make no difference what it look like. It might look a certain way, but God told me it's covered. It's good. I don't have to worry about it. See? So that's what we need to do. John gives us this in 1 John. He says, and we know, and we have known and believed the love that God hath unto us. Why? Because God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. See that?
Yes.
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We represent God.
Yes.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Think about it. So it's all about love. And we have to realize God loves you just like you are. And if you happen to be here today and you're not saved, I want you to know that God loves you. Some people think, oh, you know, when I get my life right, then I'm going to go join the church. You know what? You will not get your life right unless you get in Christ. You got to get in Christ. Christ is the key. And he loves you just like you are. He accepts you just like you are. He wants you to come right now. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, he wants you to rest in him. Understand that I have attained the victory for you. And I love you no matter what you're dealing with. And you know what? The church is not against any of people who are stuck in the webs of Satan. But we know we've been stuck ourselves. See, we've been stuck ourselves. So we can help you. We got some help for you.
Yes.
If you're dealing with an issue, whether it be drugs, sexual addiction, whatever kind of thing you're dealing with, any type of sin issue, the church understands. Because we've been there. We've been there and done that.
Oh, yes.
So if you're here and you're not saved, I'm going to ask you to pray with me right now. Lord God, we ask that you forgive us of every sin. Father, we heard the good news that you gave your son because you already knew that we would not be able to make you happy on our own. So you gave your son to cover us entirely for all sin. And so, Father, we come today with simple trust. We trust him and believe him. And we're excited because you raised him from the dead. To show us that even death is in his swallowing.